This paper has been slightly modified to optimize your listening experience. While we have included a brief description of the figures and tables, all references, citations, parentheses, appendices, footnotes and endnotes have been removed. To obtain these tables, figures, quotes, appendices, full references and citations for this paper, please view the HTML or PDF version at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org, International Review of Research in Open and Distributed Learning, Volume 17, Number 4, June 2016. The title of this article is The Role of Reappropriation in Open Design, a Case Study on How Openness in Higher Education for Industrial Design Engineering Can Trigger Global Discussions on the Theme of Urban Gardening. The authors of this article are Francesca Astuzzi and Peter Conrady of the Department of Industrial Systems Engineering and Product Design at Ghent University in Belgium, Leven de Couvreur of Huest University of Applied Sciences in Belgium, and Jan Detenud and Jelle Saldien of the Department of Industrial Systems Engineering and Product Design at Ghent University in Belgium. Abstract. This case study explores the opportunities for students of industrial design engineering to engage with direct and indirect stakeholders by making their design process and results into open-ended design solutions. The reported case study involved 47 students during a 2 weeks intensive course on the topic of urban gardening. Observations were collected during three distinctive phases: the co-design phase, the creation of an open design, and the sharing of these design solutions on the online platform Instructables.com. The open sharing of local solutions triggered more global discussions, based on several types of feedback, from simple questions to reference to existing works and from suggestions to critiques. Also, some examples of reappropriation of the design solutions were reported. These feedbacks show the possibilities for students to have a global vision on their local solutions, confronting them with a wider and more diverse audience. The case study shows, on the other hand, the difficulty in keeping students engaged in this global discussion, considering how after a few weeks the online discussions dropped to an almost complete silence. It is also very difficult with such online platforms to follow the reappropriation cycles, losing the possibility of exploring the new local context where the replication modification of the designed product occurred. The course's focus on open design is interesting from both the design and educational points of view. It implies a deep change in the teaching approach and learning attitude of students, allowing unknown peers to take part in the design process and fostering a global discussion starting from unique and local solutions. Keywords: open design, industrial design, co-design, DIY, community-based practice, reusability, learning objects, adaptation process, open education, introduction. Project-based courses are a core activity for industrial design engineering students. In such courses, students are challenged to solve problems in valuable ways. This opportunity-driven approach is the core of the design process and can be tackled in many different ways. In traditional design courses, the end results are shared with teachers and with a limited groups of experts, with the purpose of bringing the specific results closer to the actual stakeholders. The design approach adopted in this study focuses on iterative cycles where many iterations with tangible prototypes are needed in order to achieve valuable solutions. This process becomes a collaborative learning medium drawing on the learning approaches known as learning through doing or through experience, formalized by John Dewey, experiential learning and reflective practice, by Donald Shunwich. Independently from the achieved solution, sustains students increasing their knowledge and skills. The accumulated expertise improves students' ability to understand and solve similar problems. This expertise, in the form of embedded information, is defined as sticky, meaning information is expensive to generate, acquire and transfer. Design solutions can be distinguished depending on the relation between the end-use environment and the solutions itself, as in Figure 1. General solutions for global needs, mainly referring to the theoretically best material, best technology, etc. or B. Specific solutions for local needs, mainly referring to the available material, available technology, also defined as appropriate. For description of appropriate technology, http://www.appropriate.org/appropriate_technology. Figure 1. Relation between design solutions and end-use environment. In the case of general solutions, difficulties can be found while immersing students in the end-use environment. Examples include one laptop per child, and neo-nurture. These solutions can be considered mainly technical, and may face problems during adoption and use phases. Sometimes for real end users, the product loses its value due to the new context and faces non-acceptance, or the user behavior escalates, provoking the so-called rebound effect. In the case of specific solutions, difficulties can be found while upscaling these solutions in order to solve global problems. Examples could be provided by very contextual projects, as Design for Every and the iWriter. Figure 2. Arrows indicate the typical paths used to reach solutions and crosses indicate where the difficulties can be found. For example, to reach solutions, designers start from local problems and reach unique and appropriate solutions. Difficulties can be found in the upscaling process of these solutions. These solutions, even if extremely valuable, risk remaining closed and unconnected, as opposite to what stated in Manzini. Typical paths to reach solutions and related difficulties are synthesized in Figure 2. From our perspective, these problems can be found both on the design method and educational level, as in Wiley and Hilton 3. In fact, for designers, the solution represents and sustains the learning process itself. In this context, the solution can become a load to be shared in order to let other stakeholders learn through the achieved result, while our students can learn thanks to the discussion raised. Our aim in this article is to explore how a more digital, open, connected kind of educational approach in industrial design engineering can stimulate reuse of design solutions and development of more personal solutions, and also to explore how these solutions can contribute to global discourse on issues related to sustainability. In the case study presented, the focus is on pushing specific solutions to confront global problems. The main questions are, is it possible, thanks to these design initiatives, to stimulate conversation about local subjects in large participatory processes? What is the impact on students? How do they learn from this global dialogue? What aspects of the dialogue actually stimulate and allow reuse and reappropriation of the delivered solutions? Figure 3. Path used in the present case study. From local problem to local solution. Through global discussions and reappropriation cycles, there is a chance to disseminate several local solutions. The term open in our context refers to the free revealing of information on a new design with the intention of collaborative development of a single design or a limited number of related designs for market or non-market exploitation, and shares the goal of increasing the connectedness, personalization and participation as advocated in Wiley and Hilton 3. The broader goal of the research is, by helping students to understand how industrial design engineers use OER type of contents, delivery and media, to stimulate students' engagement in global conversations in order to bring their local solutions in contact with diffused problems. Research context. Sustainability and openness in design. Sustainability is increasingly emphasized in courses on design and engineering. Yet, while solutions may be applicable in a local context, they are not necessarily suited to be reappropriated and reused on a wider scale. Under both design and educational points of view, the result is that sustainability-focused projects in design and engineering higher education are not always reused in other contexts, and it is also not clear how effective they might be. This represents a challenge to test our assumptions while trying to decrease the disconnect that exists between education systems and human society, and also a challenge regarding the approach of introducing sustainability into such a study course. As Manzini and Rizzo note, to achieve new models for sustainable behavior through participatory design, social innovation is necessary. In combination with an open process where small local activities interacts with different types of opportunities to achieve a large vision. Moreover, systemic problems such as those related to sustainability cannot be solved using the same reductionist techniques that caused them in the first place. Several projects emphasize the role of urban gardening as a community-based project that allows sustainable consumption and acts as a facilitator of social cohesion. Often in these kinds of projects, we face a change from well-defined products or services with well-defined participants to a process for the realization of a socio-material assembly. In this process, the designer's role becomes that of a facilitator in the construction of a meaningful, potentially controversial assembly, for and with the participants in the projects. In this conceptual framework, the knowledge that rises from the designer's activities is captured, true to the conception and implementation of boundary objects. This knowledge is embedded in the non-human participants, such as prototypes, mock-ups, models, sketches, notes, and blogs that Bjarg Vinson et al. Call design devices. One of the basic assumptions of this research is that industrial designers learn through doing, for example through project-based learning and by prototyping, meaning that pieces of hardware become the learning objects for these contexts. A main goal for us, therefore, will be to explore how to seriously open up the design process. Open design products are related to the open source movement. The open source movement, sustained by the internet, allows collaborative creation of products by previously unrelated users. These realities question the dominant market's peculiarities, standardization, mass orientation and closure, which are in contrast with the idea of openness. In past years, a systematic distance from the real user, and proximity with the average user for which one size fits all, was often present. Nowadays, thanks to distributed production technologies and new consumption patterns, designers can focus more on local, decentralized, flexible, single consumer oriented, open design. This new landscape is not ruled anymore by economies of scale, and presents real possibilities for innovating in niche markets, creating a long tail of product adaptations. Within this paradigm, a relationship with potential social change is also assumed, sustaining openness by the collaboration and interaction of diverse and connected communities. It is important to mention that in software design, the concept openness has been thoroughly applied and explored both under the points of view of licensing and the possibility of reappropriations through highly iterative and shared processes. Also, in hardware design, many projects and research projects focus around the topic of openness, but often focus mainly on the licensing and technological aspects, rather than on the ease of reappropriations occurring after the design, which implies the real participation of different stakeholders. This last point is a crucial aspect of the present paper and can be defined also as the open-endedness of the product itself. Static artifacts are in fact in contrast with open-designed objects, and are products fully defined by the professional designer, and do not anticipate any modification by the consumer. Similarly to Metadesign approaches, open design can be characterized by the emergent properties of the interacting system rather than the conclusion obtained by one designer or one team of designers. Many open design interactions can be advocated as reappropriations and facilitated by large communities. Basically, openness means accessibility to view, modify and use a project. Thus, transparency is advocated both in forms and contents. From a meta perspective, these reappropriation cycles can be sustained by design spaces or solution spaces, and the resulting design behavior can be considered as the actual user's space of freedom to express their own needs, desires, and possibilities. The freedom to express some situational differences can be explored both online and offline. In the physically proximate environment, the ecology of open design is highly complex and includes design specification, fabrication, collaborative action, supply and value chain management, business models, legal aspects, technological infrastructure and normative values. In this paper, the advocated openness in design is on two levels, on the design level and on the educational level. Open educational resources, in this case consisting of the project descriptions and step-by-step building instructions, were adopted to let the contents of the course reside in the public domain or have been released under an intellectual property license that permits their free use or repurposing by others. Furthermore, this project draws upon open technologies and collaboration, born out of the idea to provide access to education to people who cannot obtain traditional forms of education. Open education existed well before the internet. However, recent years have seen the convergence of factors that are resulting in advances in OE. These include the availability of online tools and increased community engagement. We view these trends as significant in also facilitating the shift from closed to open design. In this way, we adopted the Web 2.0 as a new participatory medium, where the students were put in contact with other potential consumers, designers, and general stakeholders, using platforms based on concepts of communication and participation. How, in practice, to create an open design is not yet completely defined. We argue that to open the design, two main steps are needed: physical accessibility through online delivery, and the content creation, which means to restructure the content in order to facilitate reusability, also defined as reappropriations. To explore spontaneous open design behavior, we create a community-based practice within the context of urban gardening. Both steps have been explored during this case study, and represent crucial and complex dynamics. Method. The case study presented in this paper is part of a larger study into the role of open design in transferring local co-design solutions to global audiences in order to trigger discussions, improve the learning process of students, and facilitate reappropriation of projects. The course stimulated an active collaboration between students and stakeholders by being structured as an open process, where new actors can always enter, bringing new ideas, starting new dynamics and finding new solutions. What is defined as social conversation. Because the process was open, the final product also had to become open. This approach was chosen for its interlink with social innovation and sustainability. Unlike proprietary or branded products, open design solutions tend to be easy to maintain, repair locally and reappropriate. Furthermore, the design process that emerges is dynamic and the support of non-designers may lead to conception and implementation of new solutions. The aim was to show to students how to reach what Piller, Schubert, Koch, and Musslin define as communities for co-design, online communities that are able to interact with features of products online. In such communities, solving technical problems, sharing practical experiences or adding modifying some product features are real possibilities. While Piller et al. Focus on the customization of industrialized products, this case study deals with do-it-yourself projects. This choice was made in order to facilitate dynamics of reappropriation of the provided solutions. In this research, qualitative methods have been adopted. The main findings are presented in a narrative and descriptive way and were collected by researchers through continuous observation and communication between them and the students and between the students and different stakeholders. Course and participants description. The intensive program was a two-week intensive design course. The setting was a small fab lab where the main equipment consisted of laser cutter, 3D printer, CNC milling machine and other hand tools. 12 teams were randomly created for a total of 47 students, all from the Bachelor of Science program in Industrial Design Engineering Technology at the university where this study took place. On the first day of the program, a document with the design brief was delivered to each team. Each team was matched with a stacker holder belonging to a local community. Contact details were given to students in order to allow direct communication. During the first week, while students were starting the co-design process, some lectures were given on permaculture, urban gardening and how to build instructions for Instructable.com. During the second week, teams were mainly involved in prototyping their solutions, testing them and finally translating them into open design projects. Design process. The IP was divided into three main stages as shown below, in Figure 4. Figure 4. Design process adopted during IP 2014. Stage 1. Co-design process. From the design brief to the realization of one-piece functional prototype, made for local stakeholders. Stage 2. Realization of the open design. From the contents definition to the final delivery on Instructables.com. Stage 3. Feedback from the online community. Collecting insights and improving the project and/or instructions. These three stages will also be used to structure the description of the results. In stage 1 and between stage 2 and 3, a reappropriation of the projects occurred. Reappropriation can be interpreted, for the sake of this research, as any action of understanding and/or copying and/or modifying locally developed solutions in a new context. This implies untethering the achieved solutions from their context, creating more mobile results, and following the trend of developing more spatially accommodating solutions. While in stage 1 the students reappropriate existing offline resources and online projects, the second reappropriation is vice versa made by other stakeholders and happens in other unknown contexts and focuses on the newly developed projects. This last stage is here only partially reported. Potential future studies could explore this aspect in more detail. As stated by Chiap and Arias the Low, available online are not always structured in a way that facilitates reuse, reappropriation and adaptation. For this specific reason we selected Instructables.com as the sharing medium. Instructables.com is a collection of projects developed by different stakeholders. It represents for product designers what connections, OpenLearn or other educational resources can represent for other kinds of disciplines. The contents delivered should be accessible, low cost, and DIY, while the communication is in the form of step-by-step instructions, simple and supported by visuals. Our goal is to explore possible ways to improve discussion and reuse of solutions developed in industrial design engineering by adopting and developing an approach towards openness in higher education practical laboratories. We also acknowledge the concept of social learning. based on the premise that our understanding of content is constructed through conversations and through grounded interactions, especially with others. Deliverables. To better address the research purposes, some deliverables of the design process project were suggested to the students, mainly related to functional prototype, documentation, open design and stakeholders involvement. The objective was, using transparent and real-world tools, to facilitate the reappropriation of the solutions and sustain their validity. Table 1. Required deliverables of the design process and solutions. All these physical and virtual outputs have been used as a field to gather data for this research. With regard of data collection methods, every day the teachers' consultations were given to each team and in parallel, every 2 days, students were consulted with the purpose of understanding their learning process during the whole IP. To build up the presented figures, all the students' blogs were constantly monitored, as well as the Instructables.com pages. A qualitative analysis of the feedback was conducted personally by the researchers. Finally, the use of public tools allows other researchers to consult and review the original data we used. Results. The results description follows the structure of Figure 4, while the summary of the functional prototypes, blogs and Instructables.com pages can be found in Table 2. Further information can be found at sitesgoogle.com/site/intensiveprogram2014/results. Table 2. Summary of the results. Stage 1. Functional prototype realization. Results of this stage derive from students' blogs, consultations, and functional prototypes. The realization of this last output corresponds with the end of stage 1. This phase was characterized by a constant interfacing with the stakeholders, following a co-generation process as described in DeCouvreur and Hosens, where all the actors involved communicate via prototypes, and tests are done in the physical, final environment of use. In addition, students were invited, but not obliged, to report the results of their tests in a simple matrix, expected unexpected, positive negative. Specific results can be observed on the blogs. The purpose of this stage was to finalize a highly contextual functional prototype, which means without putting any effort into finding the one size that fits all. Results were approved by both teachers and stakeholders during a go-no-go presentation. All the prototypes were judged to be coherent with the brief, functional, and suitable to be translated into open designs. This iterative co-design approach is well established. The added value in this case is in raising the students' awareness of the contextual design elements. Already, in this stage, reappropriation cycles can be found. Some students used already existing online open source solutions as a starting point for their own local design process. In doing that, they had mainly developed stage 2 in figure 4, which means that they had to understand what aspects of the existing projects were for them useful, repeatable and feasible in their own context. Stage 2. Creation and upload of open designs. Results of this stage are derived from personal consultations and Instructables.com pages. These results show the value of connecting people and contents via the web. They are divided into the creation of the open design and its delivery. Creation. Students were first asked to reflect on what contents should be delivered. They also had the possibility of slightly changing the design specifications in order to make it easier to be reappropriated. Their choices were supported by literature and by constant consultations with teachers. Other concepts applicable to the stimulation of reusability through open education were applied to the content creation in order to create less contextualized content, improve use granularity and stimulate adaptation as described below. Consultations were focused on the exploration of the design elements, trying to divide them into contextual variables and fixed variables, as listed in Astuzzi, Rognelli, Saldine, and Levi. This process was developed in order to avoid any information overload or other hindrances. For students, both the understanding of the concept and the identification of these elements was extremely easy. The iterative co-design process probably helped them distinguish, for example, between a choice made because laser cutter is the only available machine or because laser cutter is probably the best technology for such a geometry material, etc. Furthermore, these consultations help teachers' understanding of students' level of knowledge about aspects of technical design. Delivery. To deliver the open designs, the students were asked to create online instructions. Various supports related to this topic are available. End results can then be seen as open not only because freely available online, but also because of the effort of openness while designing them. Examples include, but are not limited to, use of modularity, use of standard pieces, no defined dimensions, but rather guidelines to suit the context of use, written or visual proposal of alternatives. Figure 5. Alternative ways to create a 90 degrees joint, listed by modular vegetable protection cage projects. It is interesting to note that the majority of these solutions, freely defined by students and primarily meant to enable and facilitate the reappropriation of their projects from different stakeholders, are basically LCD strategies that also confirm previous assumptions about the relationship between open design and sustainability. Stage 3. Online community. Results of this stage derive mainly from the observation of online interaction. The opening of the process and end results had the goal of stimulating a global and social conversation with unknown and unrelated stakeholders in order both to get useful insights and to verify the ease of the reappropriation dynamics. This brought to students very practical answers regarding the perception and application of their solutions and gave them interesting and not generic off-the-shelf information. Furthermore, the conversation stimulated students to improve some solutions, representing a real completion of the assignment outside the class and academia itself. A constant online monitoring by researchers occurred during the 18 months after the online publication. The number of views and comments decreased after a few weeks. The projects able to start this conversation are highlighted in Table 3, below. Comments were grouped as questions, related works, suggestions, critiques, I've made it, supportive. It was decided to report, in a narrative way, only comments pertaining to the first five categories. The supportive comments are generally not meant to start any discussion. All the comments, and their exact number, are reported in their complete version in Appendix 1, Table 3. The combinations of projects with specific types of comments are marked with X. Questions. These comments are questions submitted in order to better understand the project. To ask a question can be considered the most direct way to explore new items, and the fact that these questions were online, in a public medium, and asked for black and white answers, often pushed students to rethink and restructure their projects and instructions. One example, where, thanks to some comments, the students understood how to improve their video and the way they deliver information to unknown audiences. Previous works. Some comments referred to existing related projects trying, for example, to argue why one solution was better than the other. Some internal or personal references were also used. Because the IP took place within a very brief time frame, these comments provided the students with some inspiration and challenges, inspiring them to further effort if a proper state of the art had not yet been developed or even bringing insights not reachable otherwise. Suggestions. Students received suggestions, in the form of tips, practical ideas, and possible improvements on the project instructions. Sometimes the suggestions were visual. See Figure 6. Figure 6. Is there any reason you could not skip the rectangles and just use cable zip ties to form a loop through each hole? Then they would act as the hinge too. I hope my sketch will help explain. These comments helped students to improve their solutions, and represent useful tips, especially for other users wanting to copy the project. Some suggestions drew attention to contextual aspects not previously recognized by students or teachers. Rainwater collection laws. I know where I live. You need a permit to collect any rainwater. Critiques. Comments also expressed doubt about the functioning or value of projects, and are often followed by suggestions and or related works. These comments pushed students to explain the motivations for the existing solutions, or to find new solutions. In specific cases, safety issues were pointed out. Apart from the specific case this last comment refers to, it raises a very interesting issue related to open design and education. To what extent is it the responsibility of the creator? I've made it. This feedback is probably the most interesting in terms of identification of contextual and fixed design elements. In fact, it again pulls the project into the offline and local dimension. Some examples developed this reappropriation process from the understanding of the project to its realization. These comments were often accompanied by visuals, and I used tie wraps to secure the basket to my bike. It's very secure and I love it. Figure 7. Examples of reappropriation. Uploaded in Instructables.com. In these examples, changes are made. Materials and dimensions are, for example, different. Users declared that they used what was available to them, or what suited their environment best. In this sense, a sort of design after design was shown to students. A dimension where their idea has taken different shapes and, again offline, helped to solve someone's practical problems. Discussion. In this case study, we stimulated students' engagement in a process of opening education and its end results. The university acted as mediator of a new approach towards openness, trying to orientate and sustain students while interfacing with different stakeholders. In 2 weeks, it was already possible to understand the value of this approach, specifically when adopted in industrial design engineering courses. First of all, design students' solutions were taken outside the academic environment to reach an online platform. This approach allowed students to increase their number of peers and see their own solutions evaluated, developed, criticized, reappropriated, etc. by unknown stakeholders. In particular, it was thanks to the comments, the real medium of this global conversation, that students could collect some lessons learned, which led to real changes in their projects and/or online instructions. For example, comments in the form of questions showed to students how certain information, originally well understood or at least understandable by offline peers, was completely unclear for online communities. As seen, some suggestions and/or I've made it comments confronted students directly with a reappropriation process where they had to lose control over their own solution in order to make it suitable in different contexts. This approach, with its open-ended design elements, is theorized in different studies but is sometimes hard to be visualized and explored by students in their practice. It is a known fact that the personalization and realization of products can add value to the user-product relation in terms of retaining time and satisfaction, but it is still hard to teach students how to achieve this in practice. Furthermore, given that industrial design engineering is a very broad discipline, there is always the need to involve experts of specific fields during the design process and the assessment of the end results. In this case study, this need was automatically satisfied by the sharing of the end results, thanks to which students managed to find experts in real and different application fields also unknown to their teachers. It's important to underline that the research problem is difficult. Many limitations emerged, mainly linked to low student engagement, to the choice of the online medium, or to the difficulty in tracking all communication and connecting causes and consequences in a linear way. For these reasons, this study adopted a mere observational point of view, with the purpose of testing the dynamic and identifying some aspects that can be more deeply explored in future studies. A big limitation was also the language barrier. Students were asked to write their blogs in English, but some of them naturally switched to their native Dutch to make communication easier and less stressful, especially with the local stakeholders. In general, the goal of joining a global conversation and visualizing reappropriation processes was achieved. Users, both online and offline, had unique solutions, based on what was more available and/or more suitable to their contexts. These concepts are linked to sustainability, appropriate technologies and education. Also, the goal of a first exploration of OER delivery practices for industrial design engineers was achieved, giving a first understanding of the kind of media and content useful for such a field, creating extended connections with shared and distributed practicums to develop new experiences from new and unknown contexts, as advocated in Seeley, Brown and Adler. Conclusion and future studies. This paper has presented the findings of a research project focused on the topic of teaching to industrial design engineering students how to deal with the opening process of their design solutions in order to obtain dynamics of conversation, reuse and potential improvement of their educational material that is represented by the product itself. The findings consolidate the idea that working with open design, while teaching sustainability to designers, represents an effective reality-based way of learning and confronting students with unknown contexts and potential peers. As advocated by Wiley and Hilton III, the openness of the education implied connections with unknown stakeholders, the personalization of the shared material and the creation of new solutions, improving the existing ones. In conclusion, the results of this practical case study highlight the potential of open design to encourage students to think about sustainable issues involving real stakeholders in all phases. The open designs combined with online instructions on an accessible platform allow the transfer from local solutions to global discussions, opening the education. A few practical adaptations were made to transform local and context-based solutions into a more open design, and to not just transfer these solutions online. The goal of this additional passage was to facilitate reuse and learning experience, rather than just publish the end results as they were in their analogical version. In general, we believe that the educational system should stimulate the ability of industrial design engineering students to create more open design while engaging in the co-design of local solutions but with a potential global impact. This will support a constant reflection about the achieved solutions, involving different stakeholders rather than just the academic ones, and improve the solution's sufficiency. Open design can be a powerful engine able to help students while solving difficult problems. Thanks to the opening of the design process, implemented by the universities, this innovative teaching can keep students relevant and connected with the current scene. Furthermore, the fact that open designs are meant to change with changed requirements stimulates students to look at the world through the eyes of their stakeholders, engaging in new offline-online co-experiences. This is the end of the article. The full text of this article is available at the iRodul website, www.irodul.org. Goodbye.